We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
We need to get to our friend Rodney. Rodney Boyd joining us, a host of Insider Talk every Sunday here on 97.1 FM Talk. Rodney, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. What an incredible time, man, that we're living through on every level and from so many different dimensions. But good to be with you guys this morning.
Well, it's good to have you here, my friend. I certainly appreciate that. You've seen, I'm sure, the groups that were out in St. Louis this week and what they've been talking about doing in downtown St. Louis. Defunding the police is one of them. Community control of law enforcement is another one. What's your take when you hear things like that, Rodney?
So I hear a lot of frustration, but I don't hear a lot of real grappling with the issues or solutions. I think that people look at the easy button in terms of how to deal with whatever issue is in front of them. And so to me, it's an easy thing to jump to, hey, police, police, police. But as you and I have talked about, we have a panoply of systematic failures that have sort of convalesced around a lot of frustrations. And if all we look at, and I had this conversation with Chief Isom, former Chief Isom on my show yesterday, if all we look at in terms of the brokenness of urban America and the broader society is the police department, we're going to utterly fail to solve anything that really needs to be addressed. We have decades of just dismally performing public schools. We have a crisis in the contemporary family structure. We have so many institutions that when I was a kid were safe harbors, whether it was the church in the neighborhood, local businesses that understood and cared about the community. We have some things we really need to get to work on. And it's frustrating when all we focus on is sort of one dimension of a panoply of problems that all need to command our attention. What I had hoped and still hope is that as we have all these protests, which are growing in size, and, you know, Mark, you mentioned downtown, they're expanding all over the region and all over the country. But I hope that we use these flashpoints to have real serious conversations about broken schools, about decaying infrastructure in our urban core in terms of family, church, institutions that once provided, independent of socioeconomic status, Mark, provided a sense of moral turpitude and character. If we don't deal in a broader way with what's broken, and all we talk about is ideas like defunding police or focusing on one dimension, we're going to be exactly where we are 4 or 5 years from now and not have made any systemic change. And so I think the challenge for our generation is to not be so quick to try to figure out what the quick one thing that we can do, which probably won't solve anything, but to have the real hard conversation about how did we get to a point where the neighborhood I grew up in has really become one of the most dangerous zip codes in the country, when just, you know, 35 years ago, I rode my bike through the neighborhood. I knew my neighbors. I knew the local pastor. I mean, there are a lot of things that we got to talk about. I just hope we don't just deteriorate down to something as anarchistic, in my opinion, as defunding the police department, which, by the way, I said this to Chief Isom yesterday. We have now become so reliant on the police department to deal with so many things that I don't believe the police department is designed to deal with. So I do agree that we have to ask ourselves, why are police officers being asked to be social workers, counselors, interventionists, marriage therapists? I mean, we call the police for every single thing that is proof that there's a broader set of problems. So I'll stop there, Mark. And just, you know, it's just frustrating when I hear these one-dimensional, we're going to defund or do this, and we're going to fix. We're not going to fix anything until we get real serious about acknowledging what's broken and then how we can deal with these things. You know, we have one of the most contemporary education crises in the country, in our urban core. I mean, we are not producing kids that are ready for the workforce. We are not producing kids that are ready to go to college. What do we expect for these kids to do?
It's true. And, you know, Rodney Boyd, our guest this morning, Rodney, your point of view on this is critical because of what you said a minute ago, in addition to a lot of other things, that you grew up in a neighborhood that's one of the most statistically deadly in the country, if you look at those FBI statistics. When I look at what's going on now, what I commented about this the other day on Facebook is, listen, racism is real. I accept that. I've always accepted that. I've always said I don't understand it. It's still out there. It to me, this is my perspective as a white man. It to me, it doesn't seem to be as bad as it was 30 years ago when I was in high school, or 35 years ago now. I keep losing track how old I am. It seemed a lot worse to me then, in hindsight, than it does now. But that's my experience with it. What I also experience now, particularly in the last couple of days, and I think Jared Fry, the mayor up in Minneapolis, experienced this yesterday. He's completely all in for the protests. He's a very liberal, progressive mayor. Yesterday, and Tricia can play this sound, he got booed out of a protest because he disagreed with them on defunding of the police. There's no tolerance here. It's complete intolerance for any viewpoint other than the one of the protesters and what they're demanding. What's your take on that?
So the take on that is unhealthy and unproductive, and it will not bring about the kind of constructive change that has to happen. I mean, this idea that you know, if you don't agree or if we don't agree, we're going to shout you down, or my hate can beat your hate, or my rage can trump your rage, it is not productive in any way. So here's the deal. You know, you got a mayor of Minneapolis who, by every stretch of the imagination, is extremely progressive and liberal. You know, you have a black police chief there. People have tried things that didn't work. And why? I go back to my point. We keep thinking that there's a simple solution, or if we defund the police, or if we get rid of police, or if we support anarchy, all of this stuff is a panacea to nowhere. Here, we have to have a real conversation about how these communities got to where they are, that the kind of broken institutions that have been funded without any accountability. There are a lot of things that we need to get serious about. And if we do these things in a comprehensive way, then maybe 40 years from now, these neighborhoods can be thriving again. But first of all, this is not going to be easy. This stuff didn't just happen 4 weeks ago or 4 days ago or 4 years ago. There are a lot of problems. And I've watched some of these things go unaddressed over my lifetime. And now is an opportunity to get serious. And it's going to take, by the way, real dialogue and yelling and screaming and shouting people down because they say one word you don't like or two things you don't like is too counterproductive to produce any appreciable change. We are going to have to talk to each other. We're going to have to hear things we don't like, and we're going to have to make some very tough decisions about how we allocate resources, what works and what doesn't work. We cannot continue to talk past each other, at each other, and expect to have any productive thing come out of this. And all these protests are going to be for naught if we don't come up with some real serious dialogue about how we bring to bear sunlight where it needs to be brought in on some of these institutions that have failed communities. And really, what is the crux of some of the problems? Why do we have the kinds of acceptable brokenness in many of our urban neighborhoods? And I don't think it's about blaming a liberal mayor, a conservative mayor, or any particular person. I think it's about us saying we as a people, we as a society, have allowed too many things to go unchecked, and we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to hold systems accountable, and we're going to try to help where we can. And if we don't do that, Mark, we'll be protesting ad nauseum without changing anything. And so I hope that we stop talking, yelling, and screaming at each other and start talking to each other. because I've seen what happens when people work together, and it can work, but we're not right there right now.
And you have to, I've overused this, but you have to be able to change people's hearts, Rodney. I mean, to just use an example of gun control, when the knee-jerk reaction every time there's a shooting is that, well, we need more gun laws because clearly the criminals pay attention to the laws. Well, we know that they don't. So more regulations and disbanding the Minneapolis police and reforming it in your own image still doesn't necessarily address the problem if you've got people with bad hearts in the middle of all of this.
I can't agree with you more on that last point. We got to stop thinking that there's a one-trick solution to decades of problems that require very, very comprehensive conversations. We have to begin to think about this, not in one dimension, but many, many facets of our society are broken. We've got to figure out how we restore institutions in neighborhoods that matter. I say this again. When I grew up on St. Louis Avenue, there were multiple churches. The pastors knew me. I knew the local merchants. They had a relationship with me. We weren't the richest people. By every stretch, we were poor, but we had an ethos, a work ethic. We have a sense of neighborhood that when I go over that same neighborhood today, it's hard for me because I keep asking myself, and I really haven't left, but I watched the deterioration. What happened over here? How could it be so acceptable for this block, this neighborhood, to be this when just not so long ago, it was at least a place that cultivated me? So I just want us to stop right thinking that you're going to pass a bill or you're going to defund a thing and we're going to fix it. Look, we have now a collective conscience that people are saying, what can we do? And if we don't seize this moment, right, we're going to be right back here again in 4 or 5 years when there's another shooting or another tragedy. And I just think that that is a waste of energy. Our generation right now, you, me, everybody listening to your show, we have a great opportunity to reset the table. If institutions are broken, how do we fix them? We have a remarkable, and our ancestors, whether it was people who fought in World War II or fought in the 60s, they laid a foundation for us. We have more now than they ever had in terms of resources and access. What are we going to do with all this access and surplus that we've inherited from our ancestors? Yeah, we got problems, but we're also supposed to be more tech savvy, smarter, and actually more able to solve problems. Let's test that theory out. And I hope we do.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be lots of discussion about it. Democrats are moving a bill through the House. They're going to vote on it. It's going to pass because they have the majority. It's going to stop in the Senate, I'm sure. But among other things, it would eliminate qualified immunity, which as an attorney, what is your position on that?
Well, here's the deal. Qualified immunity has its place. I think we ought to take a look at it. But let's be clear. We also have a massive challenge in this country with recruiting people into police and law enforcement.
True. That's
so when
true.
You have these conversations about qualified immunity elimination and defunding police, what does that do for some of the neighborhoods where the police agency is often the only entity that's there to help people, right? We
yes.
love to talk about defunding things, but go into these neighborhoods with me. Go into some of the parts of the city where every single day there are thousands of 911 calls because people have no other source of help, right? And until we have a broader conversation, I want to be very careful about these assaults on police or law enforcement because there's far too many times where in some of the more challenged neighborhoods, the police are the first and last person to get called for everything. So yes. I just think we have to take a methodical approach. Look, there has been conversations, and we need to have them about police reform, about setting some standards for policing, who becomes a police officer, how they do their job. There are a lot of conversations we can't have, but why do we keep rushing to the easy button as if it's going to solve a complicated problem? It never works that way. These solutions are not going to be easy. So you can talk about immunity, you can talk about whatever, but it's not going to be a one-trick solution. And I understand that legislators and people in government, they think to just rush to pass a bill and we've solved the problem. It really never works that way. You have to get a little bit more involved and understand these things. So there are a lot of things we need to do, and there are a lot of things that the police agencies themselves would be willing to do. But if you take this sort of we, they mentality, defund, repeal immunity, we're not going to get a positive outcome that matters. And once again, in many neighborhoods where crime runs rampant and poverty is king, the police are the only folks who show up when people have a crisis. Now, that's another problem in and of itself, but that's where we are today. So But I just ask us to take a deep breath and let's move methodically through this in a way that produces better communities, not more dangerous communities.
Rodney, thanks. Thanks for your thoughts on that. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
You bet, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Of course, you can listen to Rodney and his Common Sense every Sunday from noon to one here on 971 FM Talk and at Rodney Boyd on Twitter if you want to follow him there.
Get more at 971talk.com.